Sports Beat at 6:19. Sean and I, earlier this week, had the chance to talk to Gary Parrish, CBS Sports College Basketball Insider, also from 92.9 in Memphis. And the first question we asked, were you surprised Notre Dame did not make the NCAA tournament?
I actually do, and I hate to say that because I'm a big fan of Mike and what he's been able to do with that program, but I did not think Notre Dame was going to get in, and the reason is because I had listened to Bruce Rasmussen, the committee chair, talk enough and then actually had conversations with him in studio leading up to Selection Sunday, and he was hammering home the point that Notre Dame lost with Fonzie Colson to Ball State in Indiana. His point being, you can't assume they wouldn't have taken some of those losses in the ACC schedule with Fonzie because when they did have Fonzie, they were still vulnerable to inferior teams. Obviously, Matt's absence complicates things as well. Long story not so long, I did not expect to see the Irish in the bracket. Now, if you were doing it a different way, if you were just saying, here's our 32 automatic bids, now give me the 36 best teams in America right now, Notre Dame's in that easily, but it is a body of work issue, and the body of work wasn't there.
And I get that line of thinking, but as we've talked about on our show, Gary, I mean, Villanova, Duke, North Carolina, you can go down the line of teams with much higher seeds. They had bad losses early, too, and were able to overcome it. Was there just sort of too much on Bonzie in this whole process for the committee?
I think that the committee, like if Notre Dame would have went, I don't know, just avoided those bad losses early with Fonzie Colson, I think they're able to present their case to the committee in an entirely different way. They're able to say, look, here's what we were with Fonzie Colson. Here's what we were without Fonzie Colson. We have Fonzie Colson now. Judge us on that. But the issue becomes, when you lose to Ball State in Indiana with Fonzie Colson, the committee pushes back a little bit. Like I said, if the goal was to just simply get the best teams in the tournament, Notre Dame should have been in that. Mike's got one of the best teams in America, but they really focus on best bodies of work, best resumes, and that's where the Fighting Irish just came up, I think, a little short. And, like, obviously just barely short because on Sunday morning they were actually in the field.
CBS Sports Insider Gary Parrish joining us here on WSBT Radio. Gary, since you got the bracket now in front of you, you see all the teams from the ACC. Nine are represented. Virginia is the number one overall seed in the tournament, but are they the most dangerous ACC team in the field?
I don't think so. I think Duke's still the most dangerous ACC team in the field. Obviously, Virginia's great. I mean, to only have two losses after playing an ACC schedule, only one of which came to an ACC team, is remarkable. Regular season champs, tournament champs. But Duke, it was the preseason number one team in America for a reason. And that reason is because they've got pros literally at every position. And they've got the guy who I think is the best college basketball player in America. That's Marvin Bagley. They've got the GOAT of college coaching on the sideline. And so everything's there for greatness. I know that they've had their bumps losing to St. John's, losing at Boston College. But the truth is, right now, they are the only team in America that ranks in the top seven of both offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency. And when you have those types of numbers beside your name, plus the roster they have, plus the coach they have, I think they should be the favorite to win the national championship.
Well, you might have just answered my question then. I don't know. Everyone's talking about the South and Virginia and their path to get out into the Final Four. Between Virginia and Kansas, then, do you think Kansas is the number one seed with the toughest path, or how do you kind of look at that?
I think that, you know, I never really get concerned about whether you have a tough 8-9 matchup, or, you know, a tough round of 32, because you're supposed to win those if you're a one seed no matter what. To me, the toughest path is always, do you have a team that's probably better than you, that's seeded lower than you in your own region? And I think that is true with Kansas. I, to be clear, Kansas deserved the one seed. Duke deserved the two seed, but I think Duke's better than Kansas. And so, and the computers, basically all of them back me up on that. I'll put it to you this way. If Duke and Kansas play on a neutral court in the Elite Eight, even though Kansas is the one seed and Duke's the two, Las Vegas Oddsmakers, they'll make Duke the favorite in that game. Virginia, you know, having to get through a Cincinnati team that's good, clearly, that's how they got the two seed, but Cincinnati's not going to overwhelm you with talent. Duke can overwhelm you with talent, I think Kansas's regional is much more difficult than Virginia's.
Gary, even though this is the home of the Fighting Irish, a lot of Purdue Boilermaker fans in northern Indiana. They haven't been to the Final Four since 1979. Matt Painter has not led the Boilermakers past the Sweet 16 so far in his tenure. They had that long winning streak just a few weeks ago. A little uneasy coming down the stretch. How do you like the Boilermakers' chances to make a run to the Final Four this year?
They've got as good a chance as just about anybody. I mean, that's a team that really, outside of the battle for Atlantis, or I should say after the battle for Atlantis, was pretty rock solid with very few exceptions. You know, they deserve the seat that they got. I actually think, I keep saying that, I should probably say this, I think the committee did a good job, you know, with getting the teams. And I wouldn't have had Syracuse in. I might have had Notre Dame in instead of Syracuse. I think Notre Dame deserved to be in before Syracuse, but I think they mostly got the teams right, and the seeding is pretty on point as well. Purdue deserves that 2 seed. I mean, I'll be honest, I've got them losing to Villanova in the Elite Eight, but if the question is, can they beat Villanova if they play Villanova and go to the Final Four? The answer is absolutely. And the other thing is, you know, we spend so much time talking about paths and this is a difficult path. More often than not, the path that seems to be in front of somebody isn't what the NCAA tournament actually provides. In other words, I remember last year in the East, everybody was looking forward to that Villanova-Duke regional final at Madison Square Garden. It ended up being Florida against South Carolina. So we don't often get these things right. But listen, I'm a big fan of Matt Painter, a big fan of this team. And if they are in the Final Four or even winning a national championship, crazier things have happened.
What about Michigan State? Because I sit there and look at them. They won 13 of their last 14 games. They beat a 2 seed in Purdue. They beat another 2 seed in North Carolina. Why do you think the Spartans are so undervalued? I mean, they're a 3 seed, but why do you think they're relatively undervalued?
Because they played in the Big Ten, and they weren't able to get enough quality wins to pad that resume. Like, people could disagree on the selection committee's criteria. In fact, I disagree with parts of it, specifically the part where they say what you do in November matters just as much as what you do in March. In other words, Oklahoma's win against Wichita State registers with the committee, even though it became a million years ago, and back when Oklahoma was clearly a different basketball team, it registers with the committee just as much as it would if it happened last Saturday night. I think that's a flaw in the way that they do things. Oklahoma's not a good basketball team right now. I suspect you'll see that as soon as they get on the court with Rhode Island. But as it relates to Michigan State, again, the committee hammers home these points and they stick with them. We want to know what your quadrant one looks like. We want to know what your quadrant two looks like. And Michigan State just didn't have very many wins. But I wouldn't be I wouldn't pay too much attention to that 3 beside their name. I think Michigan State is a real Final Four contender. I think there's that is the toughest regional, the Midwest, because you've got 3 teams mm-hmm. that could reasonably be picked yeah. to win the national championship, and yet only one of them is going to advance to the Final Four. Those 3 teams, of course, are Duke, Michigan State, and Kansas.
Gary, my final question centers around the Big Ten in general, but Michigan kind of filtered into this question. Do you have any concerns with Michigan playing so well down the stretch that the Big Ten tournament was a week early, that could affect the Big Ten teams with the layoff?
You know, we'll see. You know, if Michigan or Michigan State or Purdue goes down early, the people will point to that.
Yeah.
And then if one of them goes to the Final Four, they'll say, see, it doesn't matter. I tend to think it just does not matter. Like, somebody's going to advance, somebody's not going to advance, and it won't have anything to do in either direction with when the Big Ten tournament was played. I guess I'd point this out. Gonzaga, you know, finished its league tournament a week early last year as well, because it does every year, and they played for the national championship. The reason we don't usually get teams in the Final Four who have a week off before the NCAA tournament isn't because they have a week off before the NCAA tournament. It's because those teams come from mostly mm-hmm. mid-major leagues, and they're not built to go to a Final Four. I don't think it'll have any impact whatsoever.
Gary, what's the double-digit seed you think has the chance to make the most noise?
New Mexico State, they're a 12 seed in that Midwest regional, and the reason is because their likely path involves Clemson and Auburn, and those are two teams that have had wonderful years, but there's also two teams that are missing key players. Clemson no longer has Dante Grantham, Auburn no longer has Anthony McLemore, and so you're talking about a Clemson team that's not what it was, an Auburn team that's not what it was, and I could reasonably see New Mexico State taking advantage of that and advance into the Sweet 16 to play Kansas.
Gary, thank you so much for your time today. Greatly appreciate it. Enjoy the tournament.
My pleasure. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Gary Parrish, CBS Sports, College Basketball Insider, and radio talk show host, 92.9 in Memphis. He was busy today. Tubby Smith let go by Memphis after 2 years with the Tigers, maybe opening the door for an alum to take over as head coach, Penny Hardaway. Thanks to Gary Parrish for joining us to talk some college basketball. Well, Sports Beat tonight was brought to you by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds. We are done for tonight because coverage of the NCAA tournament continues on 96.1 WSBT. It's first four action from Dayton. The Westwood One lineup tonight at 6:40, North Carolina Central versus Texas Southern. And then at 9:10, Syracuse versus Arizona State. Sports Beat. We will not have shows Thursday and Friday due to the tournament. We'll be back Monday at 5 o'clock. Enjoy your college basketball week and weekend. For Sean, I'm Darren. It is 6:30, and here comes Westwood One's coverage of the NCAA tournament on WS.